Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Last time we were talking about how we stand on the shoulders of giants. That is, we formulate our own theology, what we believe about God from the Bible and from the great Christian thinkers of the past. And that is true when it comes to defining human free will. Primarily, we have three theologians, philosophers, that will help us. Working from the most modern, the man closest to our time, R.C. Sproul, then back to Jonathan Edwards, and then all the way back to St. Augustine. Sproul, Edwards, and Augustine. Soon, I will be quoting from them and telling you how they made sense of human free will in light of God's predestination. But first, I wanted to introduce you to them with a short bio of each. By short, I feel like I am cheating, because there is so much to say about each man, but time moves quickly. We left off with Augustine, so let me say more about him. Born in 354 AD and died in 430 AD, Augustine is well considered the greatest theologian of the first millennium of Christian history. Other than Jesus and the Apostle Paul, many consider him the greatest theologian ever of all time. His work has massive positive implications for our understanding of who God is. He was born in North Africa in 354. In 371, he began to study rhetoric in Carthage, and in 386, he converted to Christianity. In 387, he was baptized in Milan by another key figure in church history, Ambrose. In the year 391, he was ordained a priest in Hippo, also in North Africa. Augustine became bishop of Hippo in 396. You may have heard of or read his Confessions, which he finished writing in 400 AD. And then between the years 412 and 430, he wrote The City of God and wrote refutations on Pelagianism, which I may mention later. St. Augustine died in the year 430 in Hippo, North Africa. So he has been with the Lord a very, very long time now, but his works remain, and part of them have direct bearing on our present focus. I encourage you to read more about all these men online and to read and to digest what they have written. With full confidence, I commend to you St. Augustine, Jonathan Edwards, and R.C. Sproul. Okay, now let's apply what these gentlemen have written to the effect of predestination on human free will. If God predestines us, that is, predetermines our eternal destination, does that mean that God has taken away our free will to make a choice for ourselves as to where we will spend eternity, heaven or hell? Well, we had better define what we mean by free will. And a very common way to define free will is the ability to make choices and to do so independently without any outside influence. Again, free will is the ability to make choices and to do so independently without any outside influence. So we hear people say, "No one told me to do it. I did it of my own free will." The idea is, my will is neutral. There is a decision before me, and I'm going to make a choice. And the choice I make is one independent of any outside influence. There is no coercion on the will, and there is no bias within the will. How could there be if my will is truly free? I simply make choices for no particular reason, with no previous motivation or desire. I freely and arbitrarily decide one way or the other. Options pop up and I spontaneously make choices. But there are at least two problems with this definition of free will. First, this is not rational. I could put this in the form of a simple question. If there is no reason for a choice, then why choose? If you have no motivation or desire, then why choose? Second, this is not moral, and therefore this definition of free will is not biblical, as we will see. I will say this now. The Bible teaches that when God evaluates all of our choices, He evaluates based on our motives. What motivated me to make the choice that I did make? This is of great concern to the Lord. But in the above definition, the will is made to seem like it exists without any motivations or desires for the choices that it makes. Again, we hear that popular refrain, "I did it of my own free will." The free will of this person has made the choice independent of any outside influence. It is claimed there is no coercion, no bias, no reason, no motivation or desire, just an arbitrary, spontaneous choice. As popular as this definition of free will is, it is also wrong. It is impossible for the will to be neutral. So let's turn first to Jonathan Edwards and see if he can help us to get a correct definition and a biblical definition of human free will. And Edwards defines the will as the mind choosing. I will give that to you again, then expand on it. The will is the mind choosing. The will chooses whatever the mind approves or rejects. And he connects the will also to desire. Quoting now, "A man never in any instance wills anything contrary to his desires, or desires anything contrary to his will." What he is saying is the desire motivates the choice. Desire is the reason for the choice. We choose according to our desires. Our choices are determined by our desires. Sproul interprets this as, "The will always chooses according to its strongest inclination at the moment." Now, this definition of free will makes more sense. It is rational, and it is biblical because it addresses morality as part of the choices and decisions we make. Every decision we make is made for a reason. The human will is coerced. It has bias. There is motivation because there is desire in the will. Decisions are not so arbitrary or spontaneous. Well, let's have some practical examples. And so let's begin with what I'm going to have for dinner tonight. I will use myself as the example since I know me and I do not know you, but I could just have easily had said what you are going to have for dinner tonight. I have a decision to make. Taking into account my eating habits lately and an extension of my waist, I could choose vegetables, a lean protein, and fruit for dessert. That's definitely an option, a healthy option. In fact, all three items are currently in my refrigerator. Open the fridge and I do see mustard greens, chicken, and strawberries. Or I could choose a completely different option, Indian food. I have a strong craving for curry. And along with that, biryani. Biryani is a mixed rice dish made with spices, eggs, potatoes, and a meat. I prefer lamb. And along with that, a paratha. My apologies to my Indian friends if I am mispronouncing this. I think of this as like a soft bread, a naan, a roti. It is made with butter and cooking oil, and it is nice and soft and oily. It's wet, moist, and I love it. To this, I would like to add a butter chicken and a tandoori. Yum. Now, as delicious as Indian food is, my selections have proven to be, well, full of carbs. not exactly great for my diet. If you think I'm going to make my dinner choice with a neutral will, you are wrong. My will is not neutral. My will is being coerced by the mere thought of delicious Indian cuisine. I have a bias for that over bland vegetables, chicken, and even strawberries. I am motivated by a beautiful meal to end a busy and tiring day. And so my mind is choosing, and my mind is informing my will to approve a call to my favorite Indian restaurant to place my order. My desire has motivated my choice. And my will once again chooses according to my strongest inclination in this moment. Dinner has been decided. Let's take a second example. What seat I always choose on the airplane? An aisle seat. My will, when I book my ticket, is not neutral. Why would I always take the aisle and not the middle or window? Here is why. I do not want to get trapped on the inside, climbing over seatmates when I want to use the bathroom, or stretch my legs, or get a snack. And of course, when we land and get to the gate, I do not want anyone holding me back from disembarking quickly. You see, I choose the aisle seat for a reason. My desire, easy access to the aisle, motivates my choice. My will chooses the aisle seat according to my strongest inclination in the moment I put through my credit card to buy my ticket and reserve my seat. Well, I hope these examples from exercising my free will in everyday life will help you to make sense of the way Jonathan Edwards defines human free will. Let's come back to this again tomorrow. In the meantime, enjoy your dinner. You already know what I'm having. Talk to you tomorrow, because God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.